I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. This is our third Sunday on this chapter, and we started off in verse 1 with tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus and Jesus receiving them. The criticism of the Pharisees and the scribes in verse 2. This man, referring to Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. Their criticism, their grumbling, their muttering. I was reminded as I thought of the second section of the lost coin. This is the three lost. Julian said that he refers to this chapter as God's lost and found. There's three lost things. There's a sheep, there's a coin, and there's a son. And as we looked at the two, the sheep and the coin, we saw that the shepherd went out and sought. The woman lit lamps and swept the house looking for the coin. He looking for the sheep that was lost. And they did it, Jesus said, for joy. For joy. And when they found the sheep and when she found the coin, they invited friends to come in and rejoice with them. And again, I was reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Why did Jesus go to the cross? That we might be forgiven, that we who are lost might be found for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God for joy. For the joy in the presence of the angel, it says about the lost coin. Who's in the presence of the angels forever and ever is God the Father. It brings joy to the heart of God the Father when we turn from our sin and when we turn to Jesus Christ for our salvation. And so as tax collectors and sinners came into the presence of Jesus, Jesus received them to himself. What a beautiful picture that is. Was coming into the presence of Jesus and being received and the joy that that brings to God. So last week we covered the story of the prodigal son, who is the representative of the tax collectors and the sinners. He had asked his father for his inheritance, which the father gave to him. And then he went out, it says, and he wasted all that he had. He went and joined himself together with a pig farmer and went out to slop the pigs and was so hungry that he desired the pods or the husks. I always think of the corn. After you eat the corn off of it, he wanted the ear. Just in case there was something left. Just if there might be a few kernels of corn left on that ear. And then he repented. He came to his senses and he thought of the servants in his father's house, about what he had lost. And he thought about the mercy of his father, if his father would receive him back. So he has a picture in this parable of the tax collectors and the sinners who came to Jesus. But now we turn our attention to the older son in verses 25 through 27. Meanwhile, it says, the older son was in the field. The older son is a picture of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Everything to this point was going okay. But then the elder son came back in from the field. He's coming home from work, which should be a good time. It should be a good time on a daily basis when you come home from work and you're ready to relax for the evening. You're taking time to be renewed. But there was a party going on. What do you think when there's a party going on? Did I lose my invitation? Did I forget about a birthday or an anniversary? That's what some of us as men would think. Did something happen to cause a celebration that I wasn't aware of? Don't you love cell phones? If the elder brother had had his cell phone, he could have called ahead. He could have sent a text message to one of the servants. What's going on? But he called for someone. He's one of the one percenters. He's got it made. But he's upset because he's been left out. And so in verse 28, the first half of the verse, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. That anger just kind of wells up inside of him. The way he reacted, he felt abandoned. He felt used and abused. As I was thinking of this elder brother, I thought of what some moms go through when the kids just kind of shed their clothes all over the room. And they have to go around and gather it all up. And don't you sometimes feel used and abused? It's probably even worse if it's your husband. You know, the underwear doesn't belong on the floor. I felt like a slave in the father's house. I was never given a break, and the younger son gets everything. Life is so unfair. I was kind of hoping that while he was away, he would just die. You know, good riddance to him. I never wanted to see him again. I wanted our father to feel the same way I feel about him. And I was hoping that if he ever did come back, he'd just be rejected out of hand. Why did the elder son react the way he did? Remember, he's a representation of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. When I spoke last week about the younger son, we saw that he had a faulty view of the father. He thought that he would have no standing with the father. He thought he had no right to go home. He had to be taught who the father was. In a very different way, the elder son had a faulty view of the father. Look at verses 28, the second half of the verse through 32. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Look at what the father did here. He goes out to his older son, just like he did for his younger son. He cares deeply about both of his children. Notice, too, that he pleads with his son. He doesn't command him. The son might feel like a slave, but he's no slave in the father's house. He's not to be ordered about. But the father goes out to him and pleads with him to come in. My son. Sonship is always the issue. Restoration is always the father's priority. Come in. Don't stay angry. Don't stay out. Come in. You are always with me, he told the other son. The relationship was the prize. It wasn't the work. It wasn't the money. It's not the work that the father wanted from the elder son. It was the relationship. This son always focused on the work. But it wasn't the work that was important to the father. It was, this is my son. You're always with me. Everything I have, he said, fifthly, is yours. If he would just take it, he could enjoy the inheritance of a son instead of demanding the wages of a slave. He wanted the hammer to fall on his younger brother, but instead, it fell on him. The love of the Father. John Piper wrote, Jesus is entreating the Pharisee. He is entreating all of us, sinners of the worldly kind and sinners of the righteous kind. Come in from the foreign country of misery and come in from the porch of hard-earned merit. Both are deadly. But inside is the banquet of grace and forgiveness and fellowship with an all-satisfying Father. An inheritance, unfading, undefiled, incorruptible, kept in heaven for all who live by faith and grace and not by earning merit. He calls us to come. He calls us to celebration. If you are a sinner of the worldly kind, he calls us to come to his banquet and receive his forgiveness and his restoration. If we are a sinner of the religious kind, he calls us to come in from the porch to his table. To his banquet. Either way, God is seeking our restoration. He is calling us to relationship. Why? Why does God seek us out? For joy. For joy. For the joy that it brings to the heart of the Father. He calls us to his table. In my devotions this week, I read Psalm 80. It's a wonderful psalm in its entirety. My dad is reading the same one-year Bible that I'm reading, and I went into his room this week, and he said to me, Mark, did you read Psalm 80? And I said, yes, I did. Did you notice that three verses are just about the same? And this is the verse, and I pictured this in my mind as I was reading the psalm. Verse 3. Turn us again to yourself, O God. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Verse 7, turn us again to yourself, O God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Verse 3, verse 7, and verse 19. Turn us again to yourself, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Picture in your mind God the Father and the angels rejoicing in his presence over that one sinner who repents. The joy in the face of our Father. It stretches us a little bit to think of God the Father and his face. But just think that what we do can cause joy in God's heart and on his face. Have your kids ever done that to you? You just see them doing something that causes you to smile. I love those times. Every once in a while it happens, even with grown children. Probably those of you who are blessed with grandchildren, you know, every once in a while they'll do something and just causes you to smile. I think that's what we're talking about here. You know, God smiling. And the greatest cause for joy in God is when we come to him. When we come to him to restore that relationship that he is our Father. And when we desire that more than anything else, and he's telling here the elder son, don't be satisfied with the wages of the slave, but enjoy the relationship that you have as a son. So we come into the presence of God today. We come to the table, the Lord's table, to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. That little piece of bread represents his body given for us. That little cup of juice represents his blood shed for us. And he says, come in. Come back. And there are things that happen in our lives that we need to ask his forgiveness for. And as we come to the table today, in the quietness of the moment when the elements are being handed out, ask him for his forgiveness. Come in from the pig pen. Come in from the porch and restore that relationship with him.